Artist Friends Podcast.
Hi, I'm Diane Hunt. I am an impressionist realist painter connecting with nature through my brush. I work in oil paint and watercolor, and I live in the countryside of Maryland's Eastern Shore, not far from the Chesapeake Bay. You can find me online at dianehuntstudio.com. and on Facebook and Instagram at Diane Hunt Studio.
Hi, I'm Constance Brosnan of Steve Brosnan's Jewelry Designs. I live in Oklahoma on a prairie, and I make handmade jewelry in silver, copper, and brass. I'm an artist that paints. I paint pastels and in oils sometimes.
Hello, this is Bob J. Gale. I'm the host of this podcast. I am a emerging representational artist. I do historic renderings, seascapes, landscapes, botanicals, birds, and whatnot, with a tight illustrative hand in watercolor, pen and ink, and acrylic paints. And I live in Oklahoma City. And here we are again. It is Monday, October the 12th, 2020. And you are listening to the Artist Friends Podcast, episode 66. My name is Clyde J. Kale, and I'm here with my two best artist friends, Diane Hunt and Constance Bronson. And hello, Diane.
Hi, Clyde. Hi, Constance. Hello, everyone.
Hello, Constance.
Hi, Clyde. Hi, Diane. Hello, everybody.
I'm glad you two are joining me with this episode. And the recommended videos, the subject, the theme for this episode is social media for artists, which is kind of like the almost a no-brainer. If you're a working professional artist and you're not actively using social media, you are missing out on a major asset to your career. And with social media, it's like never before has it been easier for artists to reach out to the world and have their art presented and get some recognition, you know, for their work. But you have to know how to go about it. One of the videos recommended was a from it's called the, as they call themselves, the Draftsman podcast. But the gentleman brought up some very interesting points that I had never heard before. Most of the so-called experts that talk about gaining followers on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and whatnot emphasize gaining followers, gaining likes. And this gentleman took a different approach and everything. And Diane, do you know what I'm talking about? You want to add your comments to that, what his opinion is?
Yeah, he was talking about how you don't want to have necessarily thousands or hundreds of thousands of followers if they're not the right people. And it's more important to have the right people, people that really want to follow you, that really like your work. It's more important to get those people than it is high numbers that maybe most of them don't really care about your work. So, you know, that's kind of what your focus should be. And you shouldn't worry about if they unsubscribe or, you know, drop off of your list, because you don't really want the people that aren't into what you do.
Yes.
It changes your algorithms and everything when you have a lot of.
Absolutely. And that's a big thing. It, one of the things that I also like that he presented, before you jump on the social media, you have to decide, what are you going to use it for? If you're going to use it to sell art, well, that's the big thing. You talk to all, you watch all these videos, other videos that they talk about selling your art on, you know, online through social media. So if you want to sell your art, that takes a tremendous amount of work and obligation. Do you have the necessary time? Do you have the necessary motivation? Because in between your art practice of creating your art, then you have to spend a lot of time on social media. And if you're, it takes a tremendous effort to sell your art. Not that it can't be done. There are some artists that are doing it. But when afterwards, when you investigate how they go about it, they usually have a team. They have other people assisting them, you know, posting every day, 3-4 times a day, and creating different types of content. A fan of ours is Gary Vaynerchuk, you know, and that's what he talks about. You know, for any business, you got to, you know, be on social media all the time and posting all the time, and don't worry about if it's slick or whatever. Just continue post. But if you don't have a team to do that, as a practicing solo artist, it gets pretty difficult, right? Right, Constance? Why don't you add your opinions to that?
Yeah, it does. I mean, it takes up so much time. And then if you use all of the different types of social media, that's basically, you're going to have to carve out a certain amount of time every day to spend with it, and then go back and carve out some time for painting or whatever it is that you do on this, that you have this set up for, because like he said, it's like a rabbit hole. You can go down in the rabbit hole and not come back out for hours, you know, just on one of them. So, but they have apps and stuff to help you post and did the, all of them when you post to one. And then, but still you have to spend time designing that content to put it up.
Absolutely.
You know, and then, so I try to post on Instagram once a day. Now, I don't always do it, but I try to, even if I'm reposting old photographs or arts, pieces of artwork, you know, so.
Diane, what about you? How are you up on social media?
I post whenever I get a chance, and I don't worry about it too much. But, I mean, I know I should probably, I would have better results if I did it on a regular basis more often, but I just can't fit it into my schedule, so.
Yeah, you can't get all stressed out about it either.
I mean,
you have to do what you can do and not worry about the rest of it, you know.
And that's the important thing. He also discussed about that. He said, don't beat yourself up, you know, because he said there's the algorithm that is actually, it works against you sometimes, you know, because if you, like on Facebook, if you comment or like a certain types of postings, well, then only those postings are presented to you. So whenever you post on Facebook, the other folks are doing the same, your post may not even be seen by everybody, you know? And if you put a picture up and a photograph up of your artwork and you get 3 likes, and then you, the next day you post it and you get 0 likes, don't take it personal. That's not you. That's that's the system that is, working against you. So, it was a very interesting comment, commentary.
Involved in it and figure out the schedule and figure out when your followers are most likely on, you know, online, and the best times to post things and the best days to post things. You can figure all that out from what the information they tell you. But that doesn't necessarily mean that I always have the time to do that at that time and that, you know, that day. And I mean, I have used scheduler type things, but they say that when you use the third party apps to do that, that they don't like that. So they lower your, you know, your views and stuff. So it's kind of a toss up what really works and what doesn't, and they change it all the time. So
yeah.
Unless you have time to just keep up on it all the time, it can be a, yep. Yeah, like a rabbit hole.
Well, yeah.
Spend all your days.
Like that's one thing about social media. If you don't like the way it is right now, in a month, it's going to be different.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep. I had a good example of that just the other day. I've this project that I'm working on, I'm attempting to slow myself down in my painting. Is to paint with the glazing technique of the old masters, which oil painting, which is very cumbersome and takes a long time. You have to paint, glaze a layer, and then let it dry completely, and then before you can glaze the other layer, and you know it could take 5-6 hours, you know, in between. So I took a photograph of it. Of the first two images, the initial, the initial composition, and then the first glaze area, and I posted it because I have my profile page, personal page, and then I have a artist page on Facebook. I posted it on my artist page, and then I shared it to my personal page. Well, after 9 or 10 hours. I didn't get any comments. I didn't get any likes, and I've got about 300 some followers on both of those, between those two pages, 301 and about 290 some on the other. And just about always I get a comment or a like or something, and I got nothing. I said, okay, what's going on now on the artist page? Yeah. There was some, you know, likes, and cause those are different. Yeah, you know, they're not all, they're supposed to be the same, but they're not, but they actually, I found out they're different. They're different people. Yeah. And, so then I went and I posted, and like, it was in the early in the morning when I discovered this. So around, I don't know, I think it was like 4 o'clock in the morning, I posted it on my personal page, and I only got one like, and I thought, okay, that's abnormal. Cause I usually get more than that. So then I posted it again around 5 o'clock, and bingo, comments, all kinds of comments, everything. So it was the Facebook algorithm that was working against me. It was working again. And so when I share something from my artist page to my personal page, for some reason, Facebook doesn't push that up, you know? So I never had paid attention to that before until, you know, after I'd watched this gentleman's video and learned about some of the stuff he had talked about. And so it was in my mind. It stuck in my mind. I said, yeah, that is what is going on. Yeah. You know?
Mm-hmm.
With Instagram, I also did a little bit of an experiment. When he was talking about on Instagram, you know, he said, if you run up to a lot of followers and then people start dropping off, he said, don't worry about it. Well, actually, I've had a very consistent numbers of followers for the last year. I've gone up to like 1,208, 209, and they've stayed there. They just maybe drop one or two, but then I'd get one or two back. And just, so, you know, I started looking through that and I said, okay, those are people. And those people would always comment on my art or like, or whatever, but I wouldn't post on I wouldn't post on Instagram every day. You know, they recommend 2 or 3 times a day. I would post one and then maybe 3 days, 4 days, maybe a week later post something. But they still stayed. So that told me, okay, those people like my art. So then I went through, but I couldn't, if I wanted to gain, like if I wanted to follow somebody, Instagram wouldn't let me because they have a limit on the amount of people you can follow. And I think mine was up to like, I was up to like 7,000 something or whatever, you know, I was following. So I have been going back and cleaning my Instagram account, going back, and of the people that are not following me, unfollowing them, and a lot of the other garbage, quite a few of what I call honeys. There were quite a few of those. I thought I had to eliminate a bunch of them, but I still had a bunch of them. So I was eliminating those and kind of like pruning the branches, as they use a tree analogy, pruning it down. And that has worked. I'm now up to, I think I last checked, like 1,214 something, you know, as wow. And the more, and comments, because I posted images of this project that I'm working on. And so I'll be able to post a work in progress. Yeah. Which leads me to our next video. The recommendation is Sergio Gomez. Sergio always has nice things to say. And I knew about this video about a week ago when it came out because Constance had mentioned it on her Facebook page about him. So that's why I knew I made a note to myself. So we're going to use that in a future podcast. You know?
Yeah. I thought it was a very good,
what are you talking about?
Yeah. 20 Instagram ideals.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so I've actually, part of this Instagram stuff that I've been doing was prompted by Sergio's recommendations. And some of his ideas are very easy to implement. You know, he says, don't be afraid to post work in progress photos, you know, and different ways. He said, you know, either you're showing your hands or standing in front of your work or, you know.
I was really surprised at how much, because when I was doing the Strata Easel Challenge, I was posting something every day that, I tried to finish something, but sometimes you get in a time crunch and you get so far, but they allowed you to start a painting one day and finish it the next day and post that, you know. But where was I going with that? But anyway, the work in progress, I was really surprised at how many people like to see the work in progress, like the grisaille that you do on your panel before you start painting. And people like to see that process, you know, so.
Yeah, I've thought, why would anybody be interested in that? But I guess
they are
artists, even other artists, maybe there's new artists, young artists who are trying to improve their skill too. They, may look at that. Mm-hmm. This leads up to, you know, last week we kind of set our goals. And let me tell you something. Okay, I've been, you know, because my oil paints was getting kind of low, and I wanted to save them in case I had to do this future project. And I had plenty of acrylics, you know, and so I've been doing watercolors. Well, I was trying to, I could not believe it. I started two different watercolor projects. In each one, I ripped it up before because I just could not get it. I could not reach that point of satisfaction. So to distract myself, and I was frustrated, I went to YouTube and said, I'll watch a couple art videos. And I saw an art video talking about oil glazing. Now, I've always been interested in glazing because I use a bit of a glazing technique with watercolors, you know. And what glazing is, folks, difference between glazing and a wash. Glazing is where you use a medium. In the case of watercolors, it's water. You use more pigment with, or a little bit of pigment with your water, more water with your pigment. In the case of oil paint, it's an oil medium. You use more of that than you do pigment, and you lay down a thin layer. And when that dries, then you lay down a layer on top. And this was a technique that the old masters used because they had a limited number of colors, and they also didn't have that much paint. Paint was very, very extremely expensive. But what it does for you, the ending result, based upon how many layers you take it up to, you can really add luminosity and makes your colors really vibrant. So I've always been interested in doing that, but the way I create art never lend itself to doing effective that technique, because that technique, you have to have patience, and it takes a long time to complete a piece of work. And I'm not patient. I will start on a project. If it takes me 2 hours, then I'll finish it in 2 hours. If it takes me 7 hours, I will do it in one sitting until it's done. That's why I like in the oil pan.
I liked
Ala Prima, because it gave that, you know. But I've been wanting to do this glazing technique. So out of frustration and the fact I noticed it didn't take that much paint, you know, to do it. So I started this project. And that's what I've been posting for the work in progress. And it's interesting. I find myself frequently getting up and touching the paint to see if it's dry yet. And when it's not dry, going, ah, dang it.
Wanting to start another painting.
Well, that's what I got to think. I might start. Yeah. Yeah. And I may end up having maybe two or three, maybe four projects going on the same time. I don't know if I could do that, but
it's a process. I mean, you can do some Ala Prima ones, but then maybe have a couple you're doing that you're have them in a process, doing the process of glazing and stuff, so that you're not all hung up on, oh, I can't do an Ala Prima, you know, I want the finished results now. You can always do more of those, you know, but then also have the ones that you're working on the side also.
The other video, because I like acrylics, but the thing with acrylics is you don't get that same brilliance or luminosity that you get with oils. Well, I saw some videos, which was really, really interesting. You can basically do the preliminary works all in acrylics with your colors and everything, but then start glazing with the oils on top. You can't do the reverse. You know, you can't go.
Right.
Yeah, you know, because it would be horrible, because the acrylics just won't stick to oil. But once you decide to go to oil, you got to stick with oil. And that's what I am, this current project. That's what I'm working on for this first one. It's coming out really great. Hopefully when we get done, I got to check it, but it might be dry enough where I'll be able to apply the fourth layer. Which is
that? You get some liquid or something to help speed the drying process.
Well, I'm using that walnut oil alkyd as a medium. And
okay, that should help. Dry.
So usually about 4 or 5 hours, it depends on the color. Some colors take longer to dry than others, but
yeah, let them sit overnight.
Yeah, but the whites, for some reason, I'm using a zinc white, which is more of a transparent white. It still, even with the alkyd mixed in it, it still takes the longest to dry. All the others are dry to touch. You know, the reds and the blue.
Yeah, the white is slow drying. Some of the cads are slow drying. Thank goodness. You set them out on your pallet, you know, they're so expensive. You set them out on your pallet, you want them not to dry up.
Yeah.
Right.
But when we were talking about our goals, I said 3 or 4 paintings. Okay, I only got one done and I got one in progress. What about you, too? What about you, Diane? Did you get your...
I got the small ones finished, and so I have 12 now. I'm not sure about a couple of them. I might redo or do other ones, just to have some extras. I do have enough for a calendar. And I did start a big painting. It's a 24 by 30. I did start that one too. Wow. So.
Yeah. This one I'm working on I decided to go big. It was really stupid. The first time I'd done this technique, and I decided to go 16 by 20, but I'm one of these, I'm going to jump in. What the heck? Sink or swim, you know? What about you, Constance? Did you get your goals completed?
No, I didn't get all of them. I didn't do the video that I was supposed to do for advertising. But I don't know what other goals I had made.
All right. Well, speaking of...
I still need to do that. But I did get some painting done, but I've had a couple of migraines this week, so it's kind of knocked me out of the water some.
Yep. Well, speaking of advertising, let's take a break here for a message, and then we will be right back.
Everyone needs to have a space that they feel relaxed and calm in. Hi, I'm artist Diane Hunt, and I create traditional, realistic oil paintings of nature. I'd love to help you bring the beauty of nature into your home or office. For podcast listeners, I am offering a $25 off coupon, good for the next 2 weeks. Go to www.dianehuntstudio.com. Use code PODCAST25. Let my paintings of nature help to renew your soul.
Welcome back to the Artist Friends Podcast, episode 66 for October the 12th, 2020. And my name is Clyde J. Kale, and I'm here with Diane Hunt and Constance Bronson. And for the last part of our podcast, we had a dear friend pass away Sunday, Paul Klein of Klein Artist Works. And it's because of Paul Klein that Diane and Constance that we're friends, because we had enrolled in his mentorship program about 3 years ago. And we're so enthused and impressed with each other, we decided to stay together. And we would meet and basically almost imitate the Paul Klein method. And then this last year we decided, hey, these are so great. So many great conversations. Let's record these. So we started the podcast recordings. But Paul was, I am very grateful for Paul because he helped me launch my artist career. I had the February in 2017, I had decided to try and go professional. Having not done created anything as a visual artist for 20 some years. And then I just picked it up. My daughters, you know, encouraged me and picked it up. And then I was searching on YouTube about, you know, selling on online and marketing. And I came across a Paul Klein video of his discussions, and I investigated his course. And then that following September, I enrolled in that course. And of course, then Diane was in our class, and I think Constance was in the following class. But then Paul connected us, so Constance joined up with us. And one of the reasons that he has a way of motivating you, and besides providing excellent information and guidance in establishing your career and helping you determine what direction you want to take your career. He also had a way of just motivating you and keeping and inspiring you and keeping you, you know, motivated. And so we, after a group of us, after we completed the course, we wanted to continue that because I myself knew that if I didn't stay in contact with these other artists, I probably wouldn't keep it up. And as a result, I met Diane online, and then I met Constance, and we had quite a few others, and they've slowly dropped off. You know, I think we had about seven of us, didn't we, Diane, originally? Seven or eight.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah. And we were meeting for
we were losing them.
Yeah, we were meeting that first, almost that first year. They stayed with us most of 2018, and then they just kind of, 2019, it just kind of seemed to drop off, you know, and so, and.
Well, life gets busy and things happen and circumstances change and
yeah,
so absolutely. All of the above.
Yeah, but I just wanted to express my thankfulness, my gratefulness to Paul, because all of my achievements that I've achieved since completing his course have been due to Paul. They really have. He motivated me, inspired me, and helped me get my head wrapped around this thing called an artist career. Diane, you want to add?
Yeah, I mean, he introduced us to a lot of other artists, as well as curators and different people that are in the art field. And he made you realize that there was lots of different avenues to take that you have, I mean, a lot of options other than just the gallery system. And there was, you know, there's a lot much more to it than that's just that one avenue. He talked about having art villages and, you know, getting to know other people and networking with other people. And, he was really good at that, like bringing people from other art, I don't know what you call them, I guess other art villages together and giving you the information that you could use to make those connections. And that is really something that I guess that's probably the biggest thing I got out of it, out of his classes.
Constance, what did you get out of it?
Yeah, for me, it was meeting up with you guys to have this weekly meeting to keep yourself motivated, which to me is just the best thing ever, because when you live out in the middle of a prairie in the middle of nowhere, you don't have, you know, it takes you an hour to get to the nearest gallery just to even go in and look. So, yeah, having artist friends, us having our own little village that we have right here to keep ourselves motivated is a big, humongous plus. Also, you know, he used to steer us, you know, away from people who teach you about the scamming that people try to steal from you and what to look for. And then also the contacts, because a lot of the interviewers that we had, people that we interviewed during the classes, they always gave the emails at the end of the class if they were gallery owners to, so you could send in photographs if you wanted to be a part of their gallery, you know, or whatever they were doing, you know. So,
he was definitely a force in the art community, and I would say the world art community, especially in the Chicago area, because he lived up there in Chicago, in that area, over the years. But he actually was, you know, worldwide. His webinars, as he called them, you know, his interviews were all, you know, working professional artists and working art curators and gallerists and art dealers and, I mean, all of the movers and shakers of the of the art world. And in fact, if you go to KleinArtistWorks.com, I think it's his website, KleinArtistWorks.com. He had been struggling with cancer for 6 years. So this last year or so, he knew that it was really coming to an end. And he had in from January to March of 2018, after we had completed the course, he actually hired me, which really surprised me. And we did a project of uploading all of those videos, 300 some videos, upload them to YouTube so that later on he was going to make them available, which is what he's done this last year. He opened up, made them all available on his site. So I feel very proud that he considered me for that project. And so now I've contributed to his legacy that, so those videos are open to the public, and he's got the entire course that you could actually take up there. He's got the, the agenda, you know, of the course. You could follow along and take the course that we paid for, but he's put it out to the world, which is, I think is a definite tribute to Paul Klein. I'm thinking about next week's podcast. We're going to do a little, I didn't have time to prepare this week for this week, but next week we're going to do a bit of a memorial to Paul Klein. I have some audio clips of conversations I had with him and he's had with other artists that we will include that into the podcast. And then we'll maybe a couple of the webinar interviews and give you folks a chance to, especially you artists who listen to the podcast, a chance to see what this gentleman was all about, and that he'll be sorely missed. So please, you know, rest in peace. I used to call him the El Maestro. Rest in peace, Maestro. Okay, well, I think with that, we will end this episode. We'll wrap this episode up for the Artist Friends Podcast, episode 66 for October the 12th, 2020. And I will say goodbye to Diane and Constance, and I'll let Constance say goodbye to everybody.
Good night, Clyde. Good night, Diane. Good night, everybody.
And Diane.
Good night, everyone. Good night, Clyde. Good night, Constance.
Good night, folks. And thank you so much for listening.